Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
There was just a lot of shame in knowing that I was doing something that was self-sabotaging, but not knowing quite how to set the boundary.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, making sense of your money, one money talk at a time. Let's get talking. In today's episode, we have a fantastic and insightful journey with our guest, Bob Wheeler. We dive right into the conversation that many tend to shy away from, money. It's a really insightful conversation. You're going to learn a whole lot. We're going to unravel the emotional layers behind our money stories, the importance of open dialogue, and we're going to take the steps to redefine our money story. In our interview and discussion, we delve into the significance of discussing money, navigating financial stories through difficult conversations, and how often our money talks have emotional aspects to them, and how do we get to understand the feelings that come when we receive a large sum of money, or maybe we're spending our money in a way we know isn't right. There's a lot of emotion that we talk about because there's so much more than just math when it comes to our finances. And Bob shares a great story towards the end of our interview, so make sure you stick around. It's definitely going to help shift your mindset when you think about how people act with their money. And maybe it's going to resonate directly with you or with someone you know. And make sure to share this episode with them if someone pops into your mind. Make sure to have a money talk about today's episode. It's a great episode about setting boundaries, preparing financial conversations, and understanding your money story through self-reflection. The money talking points for today's episode are: how can you start a pressure-free money talk while seeking input and help from other people? And two, have you considered exploring the emotional side of your financial decisions, such as understanding how money makes you feel and the motivation behind your purchases? And number three, whether you're married or not, are you prepared to discuss money openly, set boundaries, or have a money buddy to help support you in important financial matters? If not, go find a money buddy and have a money talk about today's money talking points. But with those money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm joined today by Bob Wheeler, and I'm excited for this interview because I've heard Bob on other podcasts, particularly Stacking Benjamins. So I'm really excited for this conversation. But Bob, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Absolutely. I'm Bob Wheeler. I'm a CPA. I'm the CFO, COO of the world famous Comedy Store in Hollywood. And I've written a couple books, and I have a podcast called Money You Should Ask. Because money and emotions seem to go hand in hand.
Yeah, they definitely do. And it's always the saying that money is more than just math. I like to say if it was just math, we'd have it figured out and we wouldn't have to talk about it. We would just know. So it'd be a whole lot easier if it was just math. Which is going to jump us right into our first really good question is, why is it important to talk about money? You mentioned emotion, but why should we actually be talking about it?
Well, the thing is, we all have a different story. We all have a different experience. And so if we're not having conversations and making sure we're on the same page, or at least I can understand where you're coming from, we might be making a whole lot of assumptions. What you think is rich, I might think is poor. What you think is extravagant is I might think of as necessity. And so if we can't start trying to find some common ground, but also just understanding that we all had different experiences. Some of us had financial trauma. Some of us had financial ease. And so we're not all starting from the same place.
Yeah. And if we're not talking about it, how are we going to know where other people are starting from? You might see someone who it looks incredibly rich, but maybe they're not. So there's, like you said, a lot of assumptions being made there. How do we maybe take the assumptions out of it and ask those questions? Like, how do you even start a conversation?
Yeah. So for me, starting that conversation, it might even sound something like, wow, I'm really uncomfortable talking about money. And I'm not sure what to do. Right. And just naming it to sort of release the tension of, oh, I have to present well. I have to sound intelligent. I've known about numbers since I was three. Right. And to just be able to say, look, this is not a topic I'm comfortable with. I'm learning. And what is your idea of rich? What is your idea of frugal? Do you budget? Why don't you budget? I like to spend on my credit cards. Do you like to spend? And trying not to make it a judgment place, but really trying to be a place of curiosity. Oh, I didn't know that about you. Well, this is something about me. My parents grew up really poor, or I grew up with a lot of wealth, and I had servants. Just to start getting information, and again, not making it a judgment, but just a really a great place of curiosity.
Yeah, I love the idea of make it of curiosity. Don't come in and say, like, it's going to be a bad idea if you just jump the gun and say, I think you're spending too much money and you're probably in debt, right? They're going to immediately get defensive. So make sure you're being curious.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that if you're talking with somebody where there might be some tension, and I know we'll maybe jump into this a little bit later, but if, you know, if you're talking with a business partner or a spouse from somewhere where there might be some triggers, set up some ground rules. Mm-hmm. Look, if I get too overwhelmed, I need to stop and take a breath, or walk around the block, or pick the conversation up in 30 minutes, or this is overwhelming. Set some ground rules so that you can actually go in and have a conversation that's meaningful.
Yeah, and that honestly plays right into our next question of about emotion. But like you said, set the ground rules and say, I'm feeling more emotion than I am logic around this conversation. And that's a good point to take a step back and take a deep breath, like you said. But how is finances more emotional than it is math?
Well, it would be great if it was just 2 + 2 = 4 and that's that.
Yeah.
But the question is, how do we feel about that, right? It may not be enough. It may be too much. I may not be deserving. And so what happens is, when we're making purchases, maybe we're doing it to feed our ego. Maybe we're doing it to impress other people. Maybe we're doing it out of scarcity. And so we're making decisions every day. Do I take my lunch? Do I buy my lunch? When the people ask if I want to go out and have a drink, maybe I don't drink and I don't want to tell them. Or maybe I can't afford to go drink. Or maybe I think everybody's going to make me pay for it and I don't want to pay this time, but I don't want to tell anybody, right? If people are in relationship and I'm going out and spending all the money that my spouse has made and I'm not telling them, and then they're getting a credit card bill or they're watching money disappear out of the bank account, there's probably going to be a much more intense conversation if I'm not having conversations. So it's important to start to understand, oh, if I receive a large amount of money, I feel very guilty, or I feel very grateful, or I'm thinking everybody's coming to get me, or I have to learn to set boundaries and have difficult conversations. And so it becomes very emotional, because we don't want to say no. We want to be included. We want to look like we can live beyond our means. And so there's all these stories going on behind the scenes, in addition to that 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah. And I love that exercise of saying, how do you feel when money comes into your life? Like, it's kind of the, what would you do if you won the lottery sort of thing? Is your first thought to hire security and make sure you're under lockdown? Or is it to give back to your family or community or something? I think that's a really interesting exercise there.
Well, you know, when I do have clients receive a large windfall, whether it's an inheritance, a lawsuit, whatever it might be, they'll call me up and they're like, oh, I just got 500,000. I just got 200. And the first thing I'll say is, see if you can just leave that in the bank for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, just leave it in the bank for 30 days. You didn't have it before.
Yeah.
Can you just let it sit there for 30 days? Well, that is very difficult for a lot of people to let. We can't get out of our bank accounts fast enough for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very interesting, because I've heard that idea before. It's like you come into that inheritance when you're grieving and then you're spending it all. Like, there's a whole lot of emotions that changes your financial decisions. And yeah, which is our next question. I love how tied in all of this is with emotions. How does emotion impact your financial decision making? Because obviously you get that large sum of money, and maybe you have a very specific goal that it would be great towards, but suddenly you find yourself broke and all the money's gone. How does that emotion impact those decisions?
Well, you know, if you've got a story that I'm not deserving, or a story that everybody else deserves to get ahead, or there's people more deserving than I am, or what will people say? All of those things are going to impact your decision making. Because if I think my neighbor's judging me, or I go to church and people might be talking about me, doesn't he think he's uppity because he's got a fancy car, right? All these things that if I'm not grounded in who I am, I might start worrying about how am I presenting? What are people saying? You know, I had a client received about $1 million from a settlement for her husband's passing, and she felt so guilty. She just gave it to the church because she's like, I just can't be responsible for this. And that would have set her up for life. But she was more overwhelmed about the thought of having to be responsible. And so that decision-making comes in when I don't know what to do. I'm not sure who to ask. I don't know who to trust. And we just start creating these stories of whether I deserve it or I'm presenting, things like that.
Yeah, and I've often heard money's going to amplify you in whatever way you act. And do you think that's applicable with our decision making? It's just going to make it bigger?
Yeah, absolutely. It really does. It's because inherently who we are, right, until we actually get to know ourselves, unconsciously that's going to come up. Now, if you've been doing the personal work and you're looking at things and you've got a support group that can help hold the space while you figure things out, you're more intentional and more conscious about what you're doing, certainly you'll be able to catch those things. But most of us are working unconsciously. And so it's just going to amplify. We're going to be more panicked. Or we're going to feel more gratitude, or we're going to feel more, what are they saying?
Yeah, that's very interesting. And like you said, if you're really in the weeds of it and doing the work regularly, you'll probably be okay, but you're still going to feel it.
You're not going to feel it.
You're just going to know it. You're just going to know what it is. Which, I guess let's talk a little bit about how do we do that work. And one of those things that I think is important is talking about money. And you've mentioned a spouse a couple times, married or not, do you think it's important to talk about money?
It absolutely is, because whether it's your coworkers, whether it's your business partner, whether you're a single parent, whether you're talking to your own parents about them needing to move into assisted living, these are kinds of things that a lot of us haven't been comfortable with, because if we talk about it, then it might come true. Right.
Yeah.
Or if we start talking about things, that might mean eventually we will die, which we will anyway. so, you know, spoiler alert. And it's important to just learn to have these conversations where you can say to your friends, yeah, I can't go out tonight. That's not in my budget. Or I know everybody else likes to spend $300 on every other coworker. I can't do that this year. Or here's what I can do. And learning to have these conversations and set boundaries and not take yourself out, it's so important, because so many of us are running around with financial shame and we're thinking we're the only ones. So the more we can talk about it, the more we can normalize conversations around money.
Yeah, and how beneficial do you think it is for someone to go into those conversations prepared? So say, like you said, you don't want to spend $100, $200, $300 on every single coworker for their birthdays. How do you go into that conversation?
Well, I think it's important to start, like, if you know you're going to the office tomorrow and everybody's going to be talking about what we're going to spend for the holiday party, gift-wise, sort of figure out what works for you, and then figure out where you're willing to compromise, or if you're not willing to compromise, right? Just start there, and don't feel like you have to apologize for it, right? Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't have as much money as everybody. Look, this is my situation. I've assessed it. I'm okay with it, and this is what I can do. And I think a lot of us just aren't comfortable with actually checking in with what's true for us, what's our true financial situation. And so I do think it's important to be comfortable with, I'm going to have to draw a hard line with this. Or when I used to, and this is a great trick for anybody, married or not married, you know, somebody's like pressuring you to spend money. I got to talk to my spouse. I got to talk to my parents. Oh, I got to talk to my business partner. You've just created a buffer, because nobody's, talk to your wife. Oh, yeah, talk to your business partner. Talk to your kids. And that gives you a chance to sort of think about, okay, how do I want to deal with this, and not feel obligated to react. Most of us are reacting instead of responding. Mm-hmm. And so we want to get to a place where, let me think about it versus, what should I say? Well, what do you, right? A lot of us get into that chaotic panic.
Yeah, there was a term I heard on a couple podcast interviews ago on my show where he brought up this term money buddy, like a gym buddy, but yep. your money buddy. And if you're not married, say, let me go ask my money buddy. And then they're gonna be like, what in the world's a money buddy? And then you can have a financial conversation there. But I really like that term. Have someone that you can stay accountable with, reflect your goals to, and maybe run those things by them and maybe get their insight. I think that's really beneficial.
Absolutely. And I love money buddies. I think we all could use a little support. And so to have somebody reflect back, hold us accountable, is so important.
Yeah. And it's also especially important with a spouse, because financial issues can be a very big deal in a marriage. Why is it like extra important to talk about money in a marriage?
Well, because you're in a relationship with somebody else, and your life savings could depend on that communication. You know, there is a significant amount of financial infidelity, and where that is, you know, I'm not going to tell my spouse about my spending. I'm going to have a secret bank account that I get to do what I want, but they don't get to do what they want. Right. It's about power. Mm-hmm. It's about control. It's about transparency. And I find that if you're lying about your money with your spouse or your significant other, there may be other areas of your life where you're also embellishing the truth.
Yeah, it bleeds over very easily once you get into, you start walking in those murky waters, and then suddenly everything is blowing up and you're like, how did this all start? And maybe it was just because you didn't mention that one $50 purchase that you really wanted. And that's the hard truth, but you need to set those boundaries too. Like you said about setting boundaries with your work and things like that, having boundaries in your relationship to help to make talking about that easier is huge.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I do a lot of couples counseling around money, and it might be as simple as one partner wants to eat at fancy restaurants, and the other person thinks that's so crazy. And, oh, hey, by the way, I already told Jim and Mary and Tom that we're joining them, you know, at the fancy sushi place. But you didn't even ask me. You just made. And so there's this place where people are making decisions without checking in with the other one, which still has impact, right? If we're saving for a house and I'm out spending money, $300 a night on meals, that's money not going into our house fund. And so if I'm not having these conversations, like, why are you getting mad at me? I just wanted to go have a nice, you don't like my friends, right? Yeah. And then I'm going to try and shame, like the more we can have these conversations, well, I really felt like we need to do this, or yes, I need to be more mindful. I probably need to tell my friends, we're saving for a house. We're just going to do burgers.
Yeah, we're going to invite you over and grill some cheap Walmart meat or something like that.
Exactly.
But keep it simple. And I think the thing that stood out for me right there is you mentioned all those potential decisions, but not once did you, like in your hypothetical conversations, mention money. And that's because money touches so many different aspects.
It does.
But you're not necessarily saying, oh, I didn't want to go to dinner there because it's going to cost us so much. You just, there's so many other little things that come into play with money.
Absolutely. Yes. Whether it's buying school clothes for the fall, whether it's the clothes that I wear to work, whether it's, am I going to take a vacation? Am I going to take a cheap vacation because I don't want to spend money going abroad or whatever. There's so hundreds of financial decisions made every day, every hour.
Yeah. And you may never mention money once, but they're in the back of your mind, that emotion about your financial situation is influencing your decisions. It's a huge deal. And once you're aware of it, you realize how much money impacts everything we do. It's kind of crazy.
It is. It is.
So we're sitting here talking about money. You and I, we know money. We've learned about it for a long time, just given our conversation. How did you learn about money? Where did you get started with it?
So I was terrible with money. My parents got married when they were super young and knew nothing. They were children raising children. They didn't know anything about money. They landed on their feet when they did, and then they fell when they fell. And so we weren't really taught about it. And I just knew that that was an issue for me. Not being able to control whether I could go on a high school field trip because I did or didn't have money. Not being able to control those things. And so fortunately for me, when I got into accounting, a friend of mine said, you would do well in accounting. And I took accounting and I got straight A's. And I thought, oh, this is so easy. So the practical pieces of accounting and money came very easy to me. My own story about how I grew up and what my parents did and my grandparents was story that I actually had to work through and let go of and say, that's not serving me anymore. So I had to do a lot of personal work. And even as I built my CPA practice, I joke because the first 4 or 5 years, I thought nobody's going to come back next year. And then I'd get all my clients back plus a few more. And then I'd go, nobody's going to come back this year. Right. I didn't trust myself. And I was always fascinated with money because I could see that money meant freedom. It meant I could be generous. It meant I could control more my destiny than if I didn't have any understanding of money.
Yeah. And you said you had to work through that yourself. I'm sure there was difficult things that came up throughout that. How do you have those difficult financial conversations?
Well, you know, I'll share one that was actually, was really hard. One of the biggest things when my parents got divorced, and I'm not going to put this on my mom. I'm going to put this on me and how I heard it. Right. My mom jokingly or seriously said, now that your father's gone, you're going to have to be really successful so your siblings and I can have the life we deserve. And I have 4 other siblings. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'll be darned if I'm going to pay for everybody else's lifestyle. Yeah. I didn't buy into that, right? And so for a few years, I would make sure that I was broke so that when my mom asked me for money, I could say, I'm broke, because I was a terrible liar. So I'm broke. I don't have any money. I'll just sabotage. It wasn't until I realized I had to sit down and say, you know what, Mom? Love you dearly. Your financial situation is your financial situation. And you're going to have to figure out whether you want to continue to be in it or not. But I'm not responsible for everybody else. If I can help you when I can, I will do it. Mm-hmm. And if I can't, I'm actually going to take care of myself first. And I'm actually okay with that. And that was a very difficult conversation because I felt very guilty. But once I was able to say, I'm going to advocate for myself, and when I can be generous, I will, but it's not going to be dictated to me how I have to do it. That was a really big piece. And it was not a fun conversation, but it was a necessary conversation.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big one. Because like you said, you're a bad liar. So you had to literally go out and spend all your money in order to be truthful. How do you feel when you're doing something like that? Can you recall like what it felt like knowing you were spending just for that reason? When did you realize that?
I think there was a bit of shame. I think there was a bit of frustration, and I was mad at myself because I could generate lots of money. I could generate lots of money, but I'd make sure it was gone in 5 minutes. And it was, I think there was a part where I was a bit angry because I thought, why are you doing this? You generate a lot of money, more than a lot of people make. You could be buying a house. You could be doing these things. But if you have any of those things, then you have to give them to your mom and you have to give them to your siblings. And so there was just a lot of shame in knowing that I was doing something that was self-sabotaging, but not knowing quite how to set the boundary.
Wow. That's fascinating to hear, because I'm sure there's got to be someone listening that's feeling some sort of situation where they don't feel like they can get out of it. How did you feel once you had the conversation? Was it relief or was it more stress?
You know, it was relief. The one thing that I did discover, and maybe this is just me, maybe it's others. Once you set a boundary, you actually have to keep maintaining boundaries. You actually have to keep affirming that this is my line, because people will test you. Oh, well, maybe that. Well, just this time, maybe just... No, this is my boundary. And so I thought that once I had the conversation, I'd never have to have it again. And what I realized is, you're going to have some of these conversations more than once. And that's okay, too. But it was a lot of relief because I knew I was at least being honest. And I wasn't, because underneath, I was harboring resentment.
Wow. Yeah. What a crazy story. That's really eye-opening for me. Because I've never gone through something like that. And I think that's where the real power in talking about money comes from. I just asked you, how do you handle difficult financial conversations? And you just like, you gave me a bunch of like knowledge and information of how to go through something like that. So I hope everyone listening is able to say, hey, if you're going through something challenging, maybe share it with someone and they'll repay you in the form of some story that's going to help your like financial outlook. And this is how we get to the point where, like you said, when that emotion hits from getting a lot of money or losing a lot of money, you're going to recognize it because you've heard other people's stories. That awesome. I love that. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing that story. That was really, really beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's been a great conversation. Feel free to add it if you had anything else on your mind. But other than that, go ahead. You looked like you were going to share something.
You know what? I'll throw this out for people that are trying to figure out their money story. The first thing I would do is start to journal and look at my history. What did I learn from mom and dad? What did they say? What did they not say? Did I grow up in a church background? What's my cultural background? Are there places, what is the media messaging around money that I took in, right? To just start to get to know yourself. And I think the biggest thing for me when you're looking at all this is to be kind to yourself, to trust yourself. I think early on, I didn't know that I was worthy. And so if somebody judged me, I'm like, oh my God, this just reaffirms how horrible I am. Once I was able to say, you know what, I'm actually a pretty decent dude. And like, I do show up and I have a good heart. And so even if I don't have everything together financially, or even if I can't afford certain things, I'm still an okay person, just who I am. So I think that's really important, the self-care piece. The other thing that I would offer as an exercise for people that really want something, I have the what, why, what. What do
I want?
Say
that one more time.
What, why, what.
What, why, what. Okay.
What do I want? Why do I want it? Why don't I have it? What am I willing to do to get it? It doesn't matter if it's superficial. Like, I want it because I want to look cool. That's okay. Know the truth about what something is for you. And then you can decide, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to work harder. I'm willing to change my belief system. And so there's no right or wrong. But I think even whether it's with getting fit or buying a house or losing weight or any one of a million things, what, why, what, get really clear about what's the driving underneath need. And what am I willing to do? Am I willing to show up to get it?
Fantastic. Awesome. Super, super great stuff there. And we've had some fantastic guests on, and you're definitely one of them, Bob. Thank you for joining. How do people learn more about you? I'm sure if there's any interest in the stories you've shared, they can reach out with questions or something. Where can people find you?
Absolutely. They can find me at themoneynerve.com, themoneynerve.com. My Instagram handle is @moneyyoushouldask. And feel free to reach out. The email is info@themoneynerve.com. We love to engage with people, love to hear people's stories, and love to support in any way we can.
Fantastic. And you mentioned you wrote a few books. Is there any specific one you'd feel would be valuable for people?
Yeah, I think the book that's really helpful is The Money Nerve, Navigating the Emotions of Money. It's a great book for couples and for anybody, or with a money buddy, because at the end of each chapter, there are several calls to action. So it gives you an opportunity to explore your emotions, explore your fears, explore your money story. And then there's practical tools in there, how to set a goal and make it become a reality instead of just something in the far distance. So to me, that's a great starter book for people to just learn to start having those money conversations.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Bob. It's been a fantastic conversation. And thank you so much.
I so appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity. And again, I hope your listeners gain some insight, and hopefully they're in a position to change the money story that hasn't been working for them.
Yeah, if they took anything from today's episode, I'm sure it's going to be beneficial. Thank you. One of the main things that I think could impact you and that you could take away from today's conversation is starting your money talks with other people. Make sure you're doing it in a way that is open and non-judgmental. Like Bob said, be curious in your position and don't just come in saying, "I bet you're buried in credit card debt, aren't you?" People are going to naturally get defensive. Another thing that could be great is share your struggles, and that can tend to get people to open up. Because if you say, "Yeah, I used to really struggle with credit card debt, but we don't use credit cards at all now," someone might say, "I've never thought about not using credit cards. I've just always had credit card debt. What do you mean you got out of credit card debt? How did you do that?" So if you start to open up, other people can tend to open up. And I hope you're able to take away the importance of these money talks from today's interview. Also, what would you do in emotional situations with your money? You need to make sure you understand and practice a little bit, because practice makes perfect, right? So if you maybe walk through in your mind a little bit of those situations that you might find yourself in, it's going to make it a whole lot easier when those boundaries get tested and when you come up to the actual point where you have to have that uncomfortable money talk with people. Run it through your mind, like the exercise we talked about of what are you going to do if you win the lottery? What would you do if you came into a large sum of money? Do you just want to get rid of it right away? Do you need to defend yourself because you're worried about it? What do you want to do if you come into a large sum of money? Make sure you understand your emotional reaction to money and make sure you have those boundaries in place. And like Bob said, leave the money alone for a little while. If you feel intense emotions around your money when something happens, leave it alone. Things will be okay. Most bills and everything really aren't, they aren't going to shut off your service if you don't pay that exact day. So sure, you do need to pay your bills, but I'm using it as a point to say your life will be just fine if you let something go for about 30 days while you wait to figure out what you want to do with your money. Another thing I took away is the importance of talking about money in every relationship. Whether you're married, not married, with friends, coworkers, really everybody in your life was mentioned in some sort of relationship in today's interview. And you're going to probably have money talks with all of them. I know I've had money talks with my coworkers, friends, family, my wife. And it's very important that we know our boundaries, we know the ground rules, and like we talked about in the interview, if you're uncomfortable, say it. If you're saying, wow, I'm feeling overwhelmed by this conversation because I've never had to figure out what to do with $10,000 and it's really stressful for me. Can we come back to it tomorrow after I have some time to think? That can be huge. So make sure you're confident and practice going into it. If you know it's going to be a stressful conversation, maybe stand in the mirror and talk to yourself a little bit and say, I don't want to decide all of this right now. Can we maybe have a little bit of initial brainstorming and come back to it in 3 days? And just practice that so that you're prepared, because money is always going to come up in every relationship, whether you want it to or not. And then the last main thing that I took away from today's episode is understanding your personal journey with money. I love the idea of journaling your money thoughts, journaling your money interactions. Did you find $20? How did it make you feel? I also really liked Bob's what, why, what, which stood for what do I want? Why do I want it? Why don't I have it? And what am I willing to do to get it? I think that's something that can really stand out and offer a good initial perspective to figure out your problem and what you're going through. So make sure you understand your story so you know where you're coming from. Like we talked about with Bob, there's some great insight that he shared in his conversations he had to have with his mom and what he learned through that that helped him know where he came from with money. So once you begin to understand where you're at with money, your progress is going to get a whole lot faster and a whole lot easier once you get that initial understanding and groundwork underneath you. But let's talk about the money talking points next. The first money talking point is, how can you start a simple and pressure-free conversation about money, seeking input and ideas from others? Well, tell people you're nervous. Just say, I'm feeling nervous about this money talk because it's a lot of money. Or I'm feeling nervous about this money talk because I feel like I'm losing a little bit of control with our money. Say something, just put it out there. Just keep it simple and put it out there and ask questions. Don't assume what other people are thinking. Don't assume their financial situation. Don't assume how they feel about the situation. Just keep asking questions and dig a little deeper, and you're going to have a whole lot easier time having pressure-free money talks. The second money talking point is, have you considered exploring the emotional side of your financial decisions, such as understanding how money makes you feel or the motivations behind your purchases? How do you feel if you came into a large sum of money? What amount of money would you start to feel uncomfortable, and who would you talk to about money? So again, the hypothetical is always the lottery, but let's maybe lower it down a little bit. Let's say $10,000. If you came into it, do you feel that? Or are you used to those amounts of money? Because some people are, and that wouldn't make them think twice. They know what to do with $10,000. Okay, $25,000. I think that's probably a point where everyone's like, whoa, that's a good chunk. Unless you're very rich, and in that case, please send me an email, and I'd love to have you on my podcast to talk about money, because that would be a fun conversation. But what point do you start to feel a little uneasy about the money coming into your life? Recognize that, and then even the next time you make a large purchase, write it down or take a video of yourself saying, that felt uncomfortable. We spent $800 on a TV and it felt uncomfortable. So just make sure you're aware of it. It can be really helpful, especially when the emotions really hit, when you know how you're going to react when it comes to financial decisions. The third money talking point is, whether married or not, are you prepared to discuss money openly? Set boundaries and consider having a money buddy for support in financial matters. Just think about those key points. I love the idea of a money buddy. I'm so glad it got brought up on my podcast with a previous guest, Johnny Bowen. So make sure and go check out that episode because it was a good one. Who can be your money buddy? I'm happy to be. If you want someone to chat about with money, please send me an email. I love to talk about money, work through problems, work through budget issues, things like that. It's super fun. So please shoot me an email if you need a money buddy. But my friends and I have awesome open money talks where we'll say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this with my IRA or rolling over this or doing this and that and the other. And then we just bounce ideas off each other in an open and curious, non-judgmental environment. So it can be really fun, especially even if you're married. I think it's important to have someone to talk about money with, because you know your spouse and you know how you both handle money, but even bouncing those ideas off of a coworker and saying, hey, here's what my spouse and I are thinking about doing with our money. What are your thoughts? And maybe they chime in with a complete third perspective that you didn't even consider that's way better. So it's just great to be talking about money with other people, because then we learn from each other and we all do better when we're talking about money. Let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you so much to Bob Wheeler for coming on my podcast and sharing his great insights and that great story about how he got better with money throughout his life. I hope you were able to take something away from today's episode and learned a little bit about how to handle and talk about money. Just remember, if you come into the large sum of money, sit on it for a while, consider what you want to do, and think about the emotions that you're feeling. Make sure you're aware of those emotions, because it can make a big deal in your decision making, because they're going to come whether you're ready or not. So make sure you're a little bit more prepared to handle them each time. But be sure to check out Bob Wheeler's information in the show notes, but also head over to YouTube to watch the video version of our podcast interview and extra content that I'm creating around each episode, because those videos are turning out great and it's fun to take a deeper dive into some topic that comes from each of our interviews. So be sure to subscribe both on YouTube and whatever podcast player you're listening on, so you don't miss any future episodes, because I have some great ones coming up. But thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.